Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. Ken and Charlie Kirk Show. Jim Jordan joins us in an unusual proposal to defund Jack Smith and more. Email me as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast and get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We are here at our TPUSA Faith Pastors Summit, 1,100 pastors from across the country. You're going to hear some background noise throughout our broadcast, but it's a good thing. Let's show that picture up on screen. That's what's happening in literally feet away from me. 1,100 pastors, combined congregational reach of 4 million people. 4 million people weekly congregational reach. So it's amazing. So apologize for any of the noise that you are hearing, but it's good noise. It's not a rock concert. It is pastors learning how to take a stand to strengthen the church, to fight for liberty, to fight wokeism. We're going to be talking about that throughout the hour and mentioning it. I do want to make sure, I got to get to this Mitt Romney story, but first, this is the most pressing thing. I was in Lubbock, Texas this last weekend, and I spoke privately to a state representative who does not like Ken Paxton, and he is helping lead the charge for the impeachment and removal of Ken Paxton, and he believes that Ken Paxton might be removed as Attorney General of Texas. This was a private, very, very heated conversation that I had. And we have gone through the Ken Paxton thing in some great detail. But the impeachment proceedings are progressing in Texas. The Texas Attorney General needs 10 state senators to vote to acquit. And I've been told by insiders that it is neck and neck right now in the state of Texas. Neck and neck, as close as you could possibly imagine. And I think it's unbelievable. While the border remains wide open and millions of people are waltzing into the state of Texas, Donald Trump faces 500 years in federal prison. The federal government is criminalizing everyday MAGA patriots, that the priority of the Republican Texas House of Representatives and the Senate is to remove Ken Paxton as Attorney General. What is that all about? It's unbelievable. I'm not even defending Ken Paxton's alleged affairs or any of that. I don't support that. Why are you removing an effective Attorney General while your country is being invaded? So we're going to put this up on screen. We're going to put this at charliekirk.com. If you live in Texas, you need to contact these people. This is the other thing, is Ken Paxton was elected by double digits by over 4 million Texans, even after every allegation against him was made public. So the voters wanted him to be Attorney General of Texas, but then the oligarchs of the Texas House of Representatives and the Senate want to overturn that election. So it's Brian Hughes, Mays Middleton, Drew Springer, Phil King, Charles Perry, Brian Birdwell, Pete Flores, Kevin Sparks, Charles Schertwerner, and Kelly Hancock. I could read all these phone numbers, but instead we're going to put this on our Telegram channel. It's on my X or my Twitter feed. It's on our social media channels. I encourage you to be respectful, polite, be direct to these lawmakers. And if they're able to remove Ken Paxton, they are basically going to tell the millions of Texans that voted for Ken Paxton that we do not care about elections. This would make the Texas House of Representatives and the Texas Senate no better than Jack Smith. No better. That we can overturn an election. The voters said, we know about Ken Paxton's quote-unquote baggage, and we think that the positives outweigh the negatives. Okay, this is all about trying to intimidate other attorney generals while Texas is being invaded. Texas is being targeted, and this is the priority. Okay, so let's just let's make sure you guys contact there. Be respectful. And we're going to send their information. Okay. Mitt Romney retires from the United States Senate yesterday. I have plenty of thoughts on this. It's this is not a celebration for me. Well, it's a celebration that he's no longer a senator, but just the story of Mitt Romney. I used to love Mitt Romney when I was in high school. Many of you did, too. You thought that he was the guy. Boy, were we blind back then. Boy, was I naive. Where I used to think that it was just Republican v. Democrat, and all we had to do is elect someone to trim around the edges and pass some regulatory reform. We now see a much bigger picture. If there has been one positive of the last decade, is we realize that there's a gang, a cartel, a mafia of insiders and oligarchs that are calling the shots, that wear jerseys on both political parties, that import cheap products from other countries, that destroy our industrial base, that keep our borders wide open. They call this neoliberalism. Mitt Romney is a cheerleader for smug Upper East Coast neoliberalism. And Mitt Romney, former governor of Massachusetts and now senator, soon to not be senator of Utah, is the perfect representation of out-of-touch neoliberalism, exactly what MAGA and populist Trump ideas have been challenging. Mitt Romney ran in 2012 as a technocrat. If you look at it, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama disagreed on very little. Barack Obama literally took Mitt Romney's health care plan and implemented it nationwide. They agreed on almost every single foreign policy idea. In fact, Barack Obama was actually a little bit more isolationist than Mitt Romney was. Mitt Romney was the one that was telling us about Russia back in 2012 as a parrot of the intel agencies. Well, Mitt Romney speaks out. Play cut 78.
Republican Party that is beholden to former President Donald Trump.
Well, there's no question but that the Republican Party today is in the shadow of Donald Trump. He is the leader of the greatest portion of the Republican Party. It's a populist, I believe, demagogue portion of the party. Look, I represent a small wing of the party, if you will. I call it the wise wing of the Republican Party. And I don't believe we're going away. I think ultimately we'll see a resurgence and come back into leadership of the party.
He's an oligarch. Mitt Romney is an oligarch. He says, as a Republican from Utah, he says that I'm really concerned that Republicans are not facing the crisis of climate change. As a Republican, he is saying that. And he says we are the wise wing of the Republican Party. What does he mean by that? Plato famously wrote in The Republic of this idea of a philosopher king, a group of people that know better, people that are enlightened. They're in the clouds while you, the everyday people, you don't call the shots. Mitt Romney looks at himself as someone that has been chosen to rule. This is why they're always yielding to experts. Mitt Romney doesn't just think he's better than you. He thinks he can run your life better than you. He's the wise wing that thinks they can centrally plan everything from the failed war in Ukraine to the failed vaccine rollout to the failed Obamacare website. Mitt Romney will never take responsibility for anything. Play cut 76.
You know, contrary to a lot of expectations, I enjoy my work in the Senate a good deal. I've spent my last 25 years in public service of one kind or another. At the end of another term, I'd be in my mid-80s. Frankly, it's time for a new generation of leaders. They're the ones that need to make the decisions that will shape the world they will be living in. Now, we face critical challenges: mounting national debt, climate change, and the ambitious authoritarians of Russia and China.
Climate change. Why do we need Democrats when we have people like Mitt Romney? Now, I have to say one thing. One thing impresses me about Mitt Romney. He does not look 76. I got to tell you, he looks really good for his age. No BS, no spin. Whatever sort of diet regimen, workout regimen, supplement regimen that Mitt Romney is on, I'm impressed. Okay, but that's not why we're here. And I will say, Mitt Romney, out of all the people to say that they're too old for office, I don't doubt his capacity to serve. I do doubt his worldview and his ideas. In fact, I find them to be repulsive and reprehensible, because Mitt Romney played the voters of Utah. Remember Mitt Romney went to Bedminster to go beg Donald Trump for an endorsement to run for the Senate? Gets it, and then right before he gets sworn in, he writes a Washington Post article saying that Donald Trump is not fit to serve. So he gets the endorsement, wins the election, writes an op-ed, and says Donald Trump is not fit to serve. Stabs him in the back. Now, there's this very, very long piece, because it's a precursor to a book by McKay Coppins. And it's actually very well written, I have to say. As far as diction and readability, it's awfully entertaining because there's some alleged insider conversations, because we know who Mitt Romney is. Mitt Romney's a globalist. He's a neoliberal neocon. Good riddance. Get out of our sights. The Republican Party is better the less Mitt Romney that we have around. However, what he reveals in this piece is something I've been telling you about, something that you guys know about that is even worse than Mitt Romney, which is the people that lie to you. I want to tell you guys about Good Ranchers. You heard me talk about it before, but it's new and improved Good Ranchers. I had Good Ranchers for our Shabbat dinner last week, and it was amazing. Look, Good Ranchers, they have better beef than ever. Their ground beef is better than ever. I was like, wow. No antibiotics or hormones, sourced from small family farms, humanely handled and USDA certified, 100% cattle, Angus cattle, goodranchers.com. Look, I want to tell you, they're so delicious. It's all American meat and I love it. It's new and improved. So check it out right now. 2 years of free high quality ground beef and a locked in price. No other meat company guarantees you 100% American meat and a locked in price. That's because no one else is Good Ranchers. So check it out right now, goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie for $25 off and for $480 of free ground beef in your first 2 years. That is goodranchers.com. Support America, support Good Ranchers, American ranchers, and support this program, goodranchers.com. I honestly think this is one of the most promising developments over the last decade. It's a promising development that Mitt Romney basically has to retire in shame. And he believes that he is in the vast minority of the party. But remember what he said, oh, we will rise again. Not if we have anything to say about it, Willard Mitt Romney. Oligarchs like you have no place in the Republican Party, period. Now, in this piece in theatlantic.com, he basically allowed this writer, McKay Coppins, who is a talented writer, no doubt. The piece was very readable, I have to say. Full inside access of Mitt Romney. And they try to make him seem like he's some sort of martyr, and they paint Mitt Romney as a young kid who never knew if he could sit at the cool kids table at the cafeteria, feels the same way at the Senate lunch. Nothing has changed for Mitt Romney. Okay, you're the too good for school, too good for us, virtue signaling smug, and nothing has changed from being unpopular in high school to being unpopular in the Senate. But let's focus on one part of the piece. Throughout the piece, it talks about how Mitt Romney would privately talk to other senators. And I actually believe this part of the article, where Mitt Romney would start to confide in other senators because he would speak against Trump and speak against Trump. And other senators would say, boy, I wish I could speak out like you could, Mitt, but I'm afraid of my voters. I agree with you. Now, there's two takeaways there. The first takeaway is that you are making an impact on senators' behavior. That's a big deal. It's a big deal that they're afraid of their voters and being primaried. That's a good thing. Now, they go on to say that, oh, these senators are physically afraid of their voters and that there's going to be violence. That's nonsense. That's garbage. Okay. But they should. That if they were to go to vote and convict and impeach Donald Trump, they should be primaried and removed from office. So that's number one. That's a favorable takeaway. The second one, it goes to show how the Senate Republicans have been playing you and playing Trump for quite some time, saying the right things while not actually believing them. Mitt Romney says, quote, a very large portion of my party really doesn't believe in the Constitution. He realized this only recently. We were a few months removed from an attempted coup instigated by Republican leaders.
Right.
Goes on to say that senators would say, boy, I wish I had your state. I wish my state was like yours, other senators say. Mitt Romney tells us exactly who he is. He is not a conservative. He is not a grassroots populist. And it makes you wonder how many other people in the Senate are hiding in plain sight, who really believe nothing. It goes on, and Mitt Romney said he learned when he was in the Senate that most people are just transactional. They just want to win re-election, including you, Mitt Romney, until you resign. Here's how you know Mitt Romney has completely lost any harmony with the grassroots. When you have Hillary Clinton praising you on MSNBC, you have to really take a step back and say, wow, our party has changed for the better to kick clowns like this out of our circle. Play cut 77.
You know, Joe, it's hard to imagine how much worse it's gotten from what we thought was pretty much the bottom. And I really appreciate Senator Romney being so forthright and laying out his firsthand observations and understanding of, you know, what's going on inside not just the Republicans in the Senate, but the entire Republican Party. It is something that is hard for me to really understand. You know, I was in the Senate for 8 years. I served with a number of the people who are still there. I used to believe they all knew better, that they went along with the criminality of Trump and his enablers for their own reasons, but that at some point they would call halt. And now I don't recognize these people, and it's such a disservice to the country. And so we've got to, you know, keep fighting back as best we can.
Mitt Romney wins praise from Hillary Clinton on MSNBC. That should tell you everything you need to know. Mitt Romney, 11 years ago, was the nominee of the Republican Party. He was supposed to be our fighter against Obama Marxism. And 11 years later, he's resigning from the Senate, winning praise from Hillary Clinton. I don't think he actually changed. We just woke up. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. And like many of you, I'm a busy guy balancing family, show, travel, and TPUSA. When I needed a mortgage, I went to my friends Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific. They were amazing. And look, I had some complicated stuff. Don't need to go into the details. They handled it personally. Call them if you have an aging family member, for example, that needs some financial relief. Ask them about a reverse mortgage. If you're self-employed and are finding it difficult to qualify because of that, they have my 100% full and complete endorsement. Call them and help you prepare. I'm telling you, anything mortgage related, please call them and not the big woke bags. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form and they will get back to you with answers. Call them at 888-888-1172, andrewandtodd.com. They're good friends of mine. Full and complete endorsement. If you are a first-time home buyer, renting, and want to be, they'll call and help you prepare. Check it out, andrewandtodd.com. That is andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form, and they'll get you back with answers, andrewandtodd.com.
Now joining us now is Congressman Jim Jordan, who is doing a great job in the House of Representatives. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us. You know, I have to ask, the Democrats are saying that there's no evidence of the Biden connection to his son's corruption. So this is all just about love, is what they say. Congressman Jordan, your reaction?
10% for the big guy. Everyone has said that that the big guy is a reference to Joe Biden. Devin Archer, business partner of Hunter Biden, said the brand was, in fact, Joe Biden. There's the email, 50% for Pops. There's the WhatsApp shakedown message. There's the 5,000 emails using a fake name. There's the multiple shell companies, multiple Biden family members getting paid multiple times. The White House has changed their story. But the most compelling evidence is what happened with Burisma. Hunter Biden gets put on the board. Hunter Biden is not fact number one. Fact number two, he's not qualified to be on the board. Fact number three, Burisma says we need help. We're under pressure from the prosecutor. Hunter Biden calls D.C. after he is told that. 5 days later, fact number four, Vice President Joe Biden goes to Ukraine and starts the process to fire the prosecutor. And what does he do? How does he do that? What leverage does he have? Our tax money. He leverages American tax dollars to do just that. And here's the big irony, Charlie. That's exactly what they accused President Trump of when they impeached him in 2019. It wasn't true about President Trump, but it sure looks like it was true of the Obama administration and the actions of Joe Biden. So, and finally, I would point out this. That action he took was frankly contrary to the Obama administration's policy at the time. It was abruptly changed at that time. So you have all those facts, that specific fact, those four central facts with Burisma. And then to top it all off, you have the way the Justice Department handled the investigation. That to me is why we moved into this phase of our oversight duty.
So walk us through what exactly is an impeachment inquiry and the timeline and the steps of how that might lead to a vote to impeach President Biden.
It's a new designation that gives added weight, particularly when you're dealing with the courts, because the power to investigate under an impeachment inquiry is different than the normal power we have to do oversight. So the normal oversight authority is rest in our legislative function. We're a legislative body, so we're doing oversight for a legislative intent. But when you're doing an impeachment inquiry, you're investigating because of something specific in the Constitution that solely resides in the House of Representatives. And so when you get into the inevitable conflict with the executive branch over documents or individuals you may need to depose, courts have typically said, well, this is a specific function to the House, solely resides in the House regarding their impeachment power. They're more likely to side with the House on getting those documents. So we're at a point where there's going to be subpoenas and depositions that need to be done. We've done a bunch. There's 13 people at the Justice Department we want to talk to. I just signed subpoenas for some of these individuals just this week. But with Chairman Comer, Chairman Smith, and our committee, that's going to inevitably happen. And so this puts you in a much stronger position with the courts because it's inherent to our constitutional duty.
So I understand that there was a private meeting with committee staff and the Republican caucus as a precursor to this impeachment inquiry. Can you just give us some inside baseball of a temperature check? Where do some of the more moderate members fall on this as far as their willingness to proceed? So walk us through just, if you can, just where your colleagues are, what they're thinking, what they're saying in regards to advancing this.
Yeah. Well, I'm always reluctant to get into, private meetings amongst members of, and colleagues. But I will say this, I think everyone understands that there's all kind of evidence that warrants us moving to this stage, this impeachment inquiry stage of our investigation. And what we try to do in these meetings is just get people familiar, get our colleagues familiar with the facts, because we've been working on this now for, several months, looking into concerns we have. And just highlighting those facts and then taking questions and comments they have. I think our members understand this is part of our constitutional duty. We're focused on the facts. We're focused on the evidence, and we're going to do our job. And I sense that. But frankly, that shouldn't be limited to Republicans. This should be a concern of the Congress and specifically the House of Representatives, again, because that's where under our constitutional system that this authority lies. So I would think the entire House is interested in the facts as we now see them, the things we have learned, and following the facts and the evidence to do our constitutional duty.
So can you speak to a second how this is going to work with the strategy coming up on 9/30, the funding deadline, specifically Jack Smith funding, you blank checks to Ukraine, the border, and some spending cuts? How does this announcement of the impeachment inquiry impact that at all? Does it make it easier to try to get some of those cuts or some of those concessions? Walk us through some of that, Congressman.
Yeah, we've got a number of what's typically called policy riders, to use the jargon here on Capitol Hill, policy riders that would limit how funds could be spent in the Department of Justice, that we've got to the committee that we think we're going to be in the bill that funds the Justice Department. We also know that bill has a reduction in the amount of money of your tax dollars and your listeners' tax dollars, American people's tax dollars, that go to the Justice Department. We certainly don't want them building a new headquarters at the FBI using our tax money to do that. So those are the kind of things that we think make sense. And then how this plays out over the next few weeks, we'll see. I do anticipate that we're going to need a short-term funding bill, but I would say on that funding bill, we got to attach something that is, I think, particularly relevant to the situation we see in the country today. And I would say maybe front and center on that is this immigration issue. I mean, you had Mayor Adams say last week that make comments last week that, a sanctuary city mayor saying this is what it's doing to our city. So I think if any funding bill for any length of time should say we're going to focus on getting control of the southern border. And specifically, I would say no new migrants should be released into the country, for goodness sake, in light of particularly what we know has happened, what we've seen over the last 3 years in the Biden administration. And of course, in light of what Mayor Adams said last week, I think that even Democrats now understand how serious this problem is. So that's an issue. There's also the issue of the weaponization of government. And you mentioned specifically the special counsel who's been attacking President Trump. I think that's something that we can consider as well. But yeah, on that any funding bill, I think there should be some one good policy area that we can win on and take the case to the American people and tell Chuck Schumer, really, you're contemplating not funding the government because you don't want to stop this influx of individuals on our southern border, as an example, that even the mayor of your hometown talked about just last week how serious this situation is.
So Congressman Chad Pergram is announcing that there is kind of a little bit of a puffing of the chest going on between Speaker McCarthy and Matt Gaetz, where now basically Speaker McCarthy is daring Matt Gaetz to do the motion to vacate, basically calling the bluff. In a series of tweets, Chad Pergram tweeted out some inside baseball saying that Kevin McCarthy is daring House conservatives, saying, bring it on. So is there a deal that could be struck to avoid this? Does the impeachment inquiry help with that? I mean, how can you speak? What can you fill in here for our audience in regards to this?
I hope we can come together as a conference and fund the government for some length of time while we continue to work on the appropriation bills, where we can hopefully get the kind of policy writers I talked about. Specifically, the example we used was on the Justice Department's funding legislation to limit how they can use American tax dollars in a way that protects our liberties and freedoms. So I hope that's the result of this. And I would recommend some kind of CR that does just what I talked about on the border and say, we're going to fund the government, Chuck Schumer, but we want this policy, which the entire country knows is the right policy to secure our border and stop this influx of illegal migrants coming into the country that even your Democrat mayor in New York City talked about. That's the kind of thing I think makes sense. And the American people say, yeah, that's the kind of thing we should be doing. And then as when you fund it for a short period of time, then get right back to work on these bills that we're supposed to do that fund the government agency by agency.
So Congressman Jordan, in kind of closing here, this is going to be a very, very eventful couple of weeks coming up. And I get the impression that Joe Biden and the White House, they're positioning almost for a government shutdown. In fact, there have been some leaks and some memos trying to already blame the Republicans if a government is shut down. At least from where our perspective is, I think there needs to be some bright lines. And Jack Smith, I think we got to go all in on the defunding of Jack Smith, because he has been so completely out of control, unconstitutional, and sets a terrible precedent. So I'm sure this is still being worked out, but the border is great. We love that. Any thoughts on just kind of some bright red lines as we enter into this? Because Chuck Schumer
I think
and
those are the
Joe Biden. Yeah, please.
No, I think those are the two. Because, I mean, think of the contrast. You've got David Weiss named as the special counsel to look into the Biden business operation. David Weiss, the guy who presided over the investigation for 4.5 years, the guy who allowed the defense counsel to be tipped off when a search warrant was coming, the guy who put together the plea deal that the court declined to accept because it was so ridiculous. That's the guy who gets named special counsel? What? So contrast that with Jack Smith, who's indicted former President Trump in not one but two locations. I mean, truly unbelievable. So I think that issue is front and center. And of course, the immigration border security issue is front and center, as is evident by what Mayor Adams has set up in New York, the situation there. So those are the kind of issues that you put on a bill that funds the government and you tell Chuck Schumer, really? You think it's appropriate for the Biden administration you're going to shut down the government because you think the Biden administration needs to be able to fund the prosecution of their opponent for the presidential in the presidential election, and you think it's appropriate for Chuck Schumer to shut down the government because he won't accept limiting more additional migrants coming into the country? Really? Go tell that to the people in New York, Senator Schumer. Those are the kind of things I think that you have to look at to put on that bill that funds the government, and that's exactly what we're attempting to do.
Congressman Jim Jordan, thank you so much for your time. Thank you. We appreciate it.
You bet, Charlie. Thanks for all you do.
So we need to defund Jack Smith. It's 100% most important thing. Will Chuck Schumer go for that? Probably not. Will Joe Biden go for that? Probably not. So that will shut down the government. So you have to ask, is there a possible way to defund Jack Smith? Maybe. What if there was an attempt to say that we will defund any current investigations into people running for president or their families until after the presidential election? That would include Joe or Hunter Biden. Now, is that an actual investigation of Hunter Biden? It's kind of a joke, honestly, the way it is right now. And this would defang Jack Smith and actually allow an election to occur. Now, the counter argument you could probably say is, Charlie, why would you defund the one opportunity we have to actually hold the Democrats accountable? Well, do you actually think that Hunter Biden is getting the full pressure, the full court press of the Department of Justice right now? Democrats would potentially go for it because they'd say, well, this would get them off our back, Hunter, get them off Hunter's back, and we don't have the Senate. So this could potentially be a possible deal of the no political investigations until after the 2024 election. We already know Hunter Biden is a crook. We could still proceed with impeachment. It would just be a little bit of a delay. Now, I know you're going to be emailing me, Charlie, come on, you've got to be kidding me, this is weak and all that. Well, look, we don't control the Senate, we don't control the White House, so you just can't defund Jack Smith and then just move on. Plus, if you shut down the government, Jack Smith's money still continues, just so we're clear. So you'd have to carve out Jack Smith in particular. So what if you call the Democrats bluff? And you say, look, because if you read a lot of the anger that is happening right now, we are resisting this Jack Smith push based on principle. We say that an unelected Department of Justice should not be able to interfere with our elections. I totally agree. Are Republicans going to play hardball on this? Probably not. I'll be honest. It's not a great deal, but it would be a much better deal than nothing. Saying, okay, we will temporarily deprive all the funding of investigations into Hunter Biden, and we'll temporarily deprive all the funding into all investigations into Trump and his family and people associated. Not saying that they will never be renewed. It's just we're going to allow an election to occur. And let's be honest, do you actually think Hunter Biden is getting thoroughly investigated right now? Do you actually, we know with all the Weiss stuff and the corruption and the whistleblowing and the interference, it's actually more for Congress's role than some technical thing of Hunter Biden didn't fill out a piece of paper for a gun registration issue. That's weak. Politics at times is the art of the possible. I'm not even sure that it would work, but we have to figure out some way to get Jack Smith to back off. Some way. The second thing is House Republicans should subpoena Fannie Willis immediately. They should have her testify. Jennifer has emailed us freedom@charliekirk.com. I think this is a great idea, Charlie. Well, thank you. I'm not even saying it's a great idea. I think it's a realistic idea to defund Jack Smith while we don't control the Senate and the presidency. And isn't the whole argument that I keep on hearing is we do not want to see the DOJ politicized and weaponized? Okay. Well, then say that if you're 13 months out from a presidential election, then make that the case. Another email says, Charlie, originally I think your idea is awful, but the Bidens are treated with kid gloves. So this actually might be an okay idea. Peter says, Charlie, trade Jack Smith for Hunter Biden until after the election. All caps, yes. Because look, Hunter Biden's probably going to get probation anyway. This is not exactly some like massive investigation. Larry says, brilliant idea, Charlie. The election of Trump will guarantee a much better and more complete investigation of the Biden crime family in 2024. Bingo. That's right. Again, politics is the art of the possible. And you have an active investigation of Hunter Biden. You got Donald Trump facing 500 years in federal prison. We think Jack Smith is the number one threat to our society, our civilization. Someone says here, Charlie, nothing's going to happen to Biden anyway. Take the deal. And isn't the whole goal winning in 2024 of November? If Jack Smith is in the way, put Jack Smith on ice, and then that means you might have to also put Hunter Biden on ice, which he already is on ice, effectively. Think about it, and then I want to hear from you. freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather
peanut gallery.
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.